the Lord. I hope you're doing well this morning. So I'm going to be speaking to us about a story of this woman in the Bible and her encounter with Jesus, and maybe explain the revelation I have from this. And I pray that it would bless your heart, that it would help you understand and get to know God better, and just reveal a newness, because He's new every day. And so from the book of John chapter 4 from verse 1 to 26, I will read through for you. It's about Jesus talks with a Samaritan woman. So let's go. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that He was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but His disciples. So He left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now He had to go through Samaria. So He came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as He was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to Him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the drink of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, and as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to Him, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. And Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has come now when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and His worshippers must worship in Him in spirit and in truth." The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When He comes, He will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am He." So from this particular passage from the book of John chapter 4 from verse 1 to 26, there's so many things we can expound on. There's so much we can be able to get from the scripture. And I will point out what I can in this session. And from verse 13, where it says that, "And Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give to them will become in them the spring of water welling up to eternal life." And it takes me back to the creation story, that in the book of Genesis, before creation, the earth was formless and void. And even when God was creating man, until he breathed his breath was into was transferred to us, there was no life and we were empty. Just to say that there's a void in each of us as human beings, and there's a void in the world. There was a void before God created and God stepped in to create, meaning that without Jesus, there is a void and there's nothingness. And it's only when Jesus steps into the scene that we are able to have life, and that we need Jesus. And as human beings, from time and again, we have tried to fill voids with various kind of things around our lives that do not necessarily fulfill and fill that void that only God is to fill. And I'm reminded when Jesus asked her about to go tell her husband, to go and call her husband and come back, in verse 16, and she was like, I have no husband. Because sometimes this word husband, I want to interpret it as something that we have put in place of God in our lives, or an idol, something we made an idol, or things we have tried to use to fill up voids in our lives, fill up voids in our lives, in the place where we should instead have and desire to have an encounter with Jesus and allow him to fill this part of us. I don't know what you could have used to fill up that void, that for a moment, because it's not, nothing is permanent. Only Jesus can be able to complete you. It could be your career, it could be religion, it could be a business you try to fill the void with. Some people are going into drugs and alcohol and just being promiscuous. It's because in all of us, I have looked at the lives of great people from both ends, from as a Christian perspective, from Christians and also the world, and see that most people from the world, most people are seeking out fulfillment from the things of this world. And just to remind you that void and whatever you're seeking can only be found in Jesus. I don't know what husbands or what things, quote unquote, you have placed or you have tried to use to fill that void in your life. It could be seeking out a significant other. I don't know what you have tried to replace God with. Sometimes we're not even realizing it, but we are trying to replace what we can't replace. You're trying to replace and to allow something to take up the place of God. And this woman, after saying she had no husband, because sometimes people have used various things, and we have used various things to in the place of God, Jesus affirms her that the water that he will give her will be a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Like, it will never run dry. Jesus is the well that never runs dry. That when we encounter him, and when we allow him into our lives and into our hearts, and to when we make him Lord over our lives, then we are fulfilled. That void that you may be feeling will be covered up. And I don't know why I had to come on today and just, but I know that God just desires that we know that he is a source. He is all you are looking for. Like, everything is found in him and him alone. That nothing can be able to take the place and to fill up your cup like Jesus does. Like Jesus does. And even as we know him, as we walk with him, it is that our desire that we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. That you worship the Lord from a place of sincerity, a place of reverence. Because, you know, that cup is filled, but we have to have a continuous fellowship, because it's a spring of water. And we have to tap into that spring in completion. Like, we have to tap into the entire, you know, like, God cannot be boxed and cannot be understood. He is so wide and amazing and awesome. He's so huge. And so we have to tap into the various facets of God and understand him in all his ways. And it's a journey of discovery. And so for us to be able to navigate this spring of water that is Jesus in our lives, we have to seek to want to worship him in truth and in spirit, where we constantly desire to encounter him, where we are desperate for him, where we are always reaching out to him every single day of our lives, because he's always with us. And walking in a way that pleases the Lord in our lives, both in private and in public, through prayer, by reading the word, by being in the place of seeking him every day and continually worshiping him. And even this verse highlights that, because this woman was like, you're asking me for water and I'm a Samaritan and you're a Jew. It means that the gospel is for all of us. The gospel of Jesus is not choosy to particular people. That's why we need, as Christians, to spread the gospel and to preach the word of God, to evangelize to everybody we meet, because the gospel of Jesus is for everybody, and Jesus came for everybody who will believe and acknowledge him as Lord and Savior over their lives. And also, this encounter tells me that on day to day we encounter God, and sometimes we may be blind. Because this woman was like, in verse 25, the woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us. Sometimes God has placed people in our lives who are a representation of him in our lives. But we are always waiting for a particular way that we want Jesus to show up. But he's always present. Like, God will come in the form of a human being, of a child, of your pastor, of a prophet. I don't know. But for us to be sensitive of the people that God brings into our lives and how we regard and treat them, because sometimes Jesus would come in any form to minister to you, and you have to be alert and sensitive to the things of God, because life is spiritual. And I could go on and on, but I feel like I've expanded for now. And Jesus declared and replied to her in verse 26, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. And so I remember last week I was listening to a sermon by Pastor George Masharia, and about the man. So something about Moses, the man encounters God, if I'm not wrong. And he shared a story at the end that I cried. I don't know, I just cried for a bit. Because I just started to listen to someone and I find myself crying, because I just see the hand of God over people's lives. And so he was saying that at a young age, at some point he got lost. He was sleeping in a matatu, then he got lost and he was dropped far off from home. And then when he was crying on his way back home, he a car appeared from nowhere. And there was a woman and a man who asked if they would drop him home. And he said he does not remember telling them where he stayed. But this particular people drove him to his very gate of his home where he stayed. And when he turned back to look at the vehicle was gone. And to date, like, he can only say it's God. And so I found myself crying. And I asked myself, how many times that Jesus and God show up for us, like, in plain sight, but we are expecting him in a particular way that we miss out on what he's doing for us. And I just want to encourage you to, like, listen to the still small voice and be very attentive, because I've realized in this season that God is in the details. And sometimes you are so busy, you may miss out on what he's saying, what he's doing. Because Maramingi, when we're seeking out God, there's a void we're trying to seek that he feels. Ama, there's a need we have, which could be also used to mean a void. And sometimes God has answered your prayer, but you are so fixated on how you wanted it answered, or on how you think it should come, that you miss out on what God is saying at that particular moment. This feels like a sermonette, to be honest. But I have given various messages within this particular episode, depending on what God is speaking to you at this moment, you pick a word for yourself, because I believe the Holy Spirit works in amazing ways, and He has a word for everybody, every single person, and a word at every particular time. And just to remind you that, that God is present, that God is reaching out to you, and that God loves you. And that if you listen to my podcast and you've not given your life to Christ, today I just feel is the day that I will lead you to Jesus. You can repeat these words after me and know that Jesus desires to just walk with you in this journey of life, and that He desires to be Lord and Savior over your life. Yeah. So just repeat these words after me and say, Lord Jesus, I come before you this day. I say that I am a sinner and I have fallen short of your glory. But this day I renounce anything that is not of you. And I choose to be a child of God. I acknowledge that you are Lord and Savior over my life. And that from today henceforth, I choose to live my life to honor and glorify you. So lead me, guide me, and hide me in your ways everlasting. Teach me to walk with you. I give my life to you. I hope that in Jesus' name, amen. I pray that with that prayer, that maybe somebody hopefully gave their life to Christ and wants to start a new chapter with Jesus, and to allow God to fill up where you feel like you need God, because we all need Jesus, that He would fill you up and restore you to Himself. And God loves you, and God meets you where you are. So don't feel like you are too lost for Jesus. No, there's nothing too big for God. He wants you just the way you are, and as you encounter Him, He will transform you into beauty, because He's a God who gives beauty for ashes. So I pray that this would help you. And so let me just make a general prayer even as I finish. Jehovah God, we come before you this day and say thank you for the gift of life. And today we place before you the areas of void in our lives and ask that you, the only one who can fill those spaces, that you would reach out and fill those spaces, meet those needs, meet those hearts wherever they are, meet their minds, be their strength, be their guide, God, for whoever's listening, and that you would just remind them that in you they are everything, and in you they have everything that they need. Receive all praise, all glory, honor, and adoration. For it's in Jesus' name that I do pray and believe. Amen. Have a blessed day. God loves you. And Napenda. Bye.